What is the most productive day of the year for you? When you think about your life, any given year, what is the most productive day in your life? Well, studies have shown the most productive day in your life in any given year is the day before you go on vacation. That is your most productive day of the year. And you know how it is. You're closing out the things that you're taking care of and responsible for, and you'd wrap all that up, and you're also preparing to leave. And so you have one foot in today, one foot in tomorrow. You're trying to close out your reality so you can leave, but you're also preparing to leave, and it's your most productive day. Now, why is that? Because you are focused. And whenever you're focused, it gives you clarity. When you're focused, it eliminates distractions. And so what I'm wrestling with as we look at our text tonight is, how can you stay focused throughout the year so that every day of the year becomes a very productive day for you, a very effective day for you, because you live a focused life? What does that look like? What does God's Word teach about having a focused life? When your life is focused, what does that mean? What does it mean about how you allocate your energy and your time and your resources and what you're giving your life to? It's all about how you focus your life. And I want us to explore that together in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to pick up where Pastor David left off last week. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we begin there in verse 7. When you're there, would you say amen? In verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And the Bible says, amen. So how do you live a focused life where you're productive every day, where you're effective for the kingdom of God and you're efficient for the glory of God? How do you focus your life, and what is it that you ought to give your life to? Well, I want to give you five actions. First of all, live with a sense of urgency. If you're going to focus your life on what matters most, live with a sense of urgency. Now, Peter's declaring very boldly here. In verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. And it talks about the reality of the culmination of the end, that the fulfillment is near. All that God has orchestrated, all that Jesus demonstrated, everything in God's Word is pointing to the fulfillment, the culmination. And so the end is near. And as a result, the devil has intensified his attacks. Even the devil knows the end is near. Even the demons believe the end is near. And so they have amped up their onslaught. Anytime you go through spiritual attack, you can just go ahead and accept the fact that you must be walking with God. Because if you choose to walk with God and walk in the Spirit and be on mission with God, you can expect spiritual attack. It is amplified by the fact that we are living in what the Bible calls the end times. In our vernacular, it would be like saying we're living in the fourth quarter with just a few seconds left. And we have the ball, and we're marching that ball down the field. We're driving down the field, and we're going to make a touchdown for the glory of God, but we've got to recognize that we're living in the fourth quarter. So Peter is very adamant about us living with a sense of urgency. And that's why there's no room for us as believers to become complacent. There's no room for us to be as what the Bible calls in Amos, to be at ease in Zion. when you're living in the fourth quarter, when you are living in the end times, it is not a time to be at ease. This is no time in your Christian walk to put your gear in neutral and coast. This is not a time for coasting. So we must move out of mediocrity, we must leap out of lethargy, and we must advance through apathy. This ought to be the most exciting time for us as children of God. Amen? We know the end is near. And there ought to be such a sense of urgency about us to live for the will of God and to pour our lives into the kingdom of God and to reach as many people for Jesus, because we know that Jesus is coming soon. And here's the reality. Peter penned these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago and declared, "We're near the end." That was 2,000 years ago. I've got an announcement to make. We are nearer to the end than when Peter wrote 1 Peter. We are in the fourth quarter with a few seconds left, and it's time for us to amp up and ramp up for God's glory and live with a sense of urgency. And here's what that will do. It will help us realign what matters most. It will help us realign our priorities. So here's my question. What adjustments do you need to make in order to live with a sense of urgency? What is distracting you? What is magnetizing you into this mediocrity? What is it that is keeping you from being on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that is diluting your devotion and polluting your passion? Identify that and eliminate that, and let's live with a sense of urgency. Which brings us to number two. Keep your prayer life healthy. Keep your prayer life healthy. We pick up in the second part of verse 7. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. One translation says, so that your prayers will not be hindered. In other words, it matters what kind of attitude you are housing. If you've got a bad attitude, if you are indifferent to the things of God, if you are cold toward the Word of God, and if you are distant from the Spirit of God, it's going to impact your attitude, and your mindset is going to be corrupt. And what you will discover is that if you're not living in such a way that you are self-controlled and sober-minded, which means godly thinking and spiritual alertness, if you're not embracing that kind of mindset and attitude, what happens is your mind gets fragmented. And you're no longer thinking clearly. You're no longer making proper assessments. For example, something that should be valued at a 10, you'll put a 3. And something that should be valued a 2, you'll put an 8. You misassign value to things. You misunderstand the will of God, and you live in confusion and chaos, and the fog sets in. Have you ever been there? And you need a breakthrough. You've got to come to a place where I'm not going to let anything hinder my prayer life. So I've got to make sure that my mind is right. I've got to make sure that my heart is right. And I've got to be spiritually observant and have my mind focused on spiritual things. What's Colossians chapter 3 say? Set your minds on things above. Set your heart on things above. Why? Because if you get so focused on the things of this world and this earth, you will lose sight of the reality of heaven and the power of God. Keep your prayer life healthy. As I've been recovering the last few days, I had to change up my morning routine. Used to, I got up early, had my coffee and quiet time, and then met the guys at the trails to go mountain biking for an hour. And we'd ride sometimes 8 to 10 to 11 miles in 1 hour. And it was awesome. It was hot. It was muddy. It was dangerous. It was intense. And I have a need for speed. So it's a great way to launch into the day. Well, the doctor announced that I had to delay mountain biking for 2 weeks. And so I had to embrace a different lifestyle of exercise. So guess what I do now every morning? After I have my quiet time and my coffee, I walk our Cocker Spaniel for 30 minutes. And she's much faster than me. Her name is Jacy, J-A-C-I. We call her Jacy Girl. So I have a new routine. And I want to show you a picture I took Tuesday morning. I just walked right down the street, went to the gully, and walked along the gully, and here's what I saw. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't she pretty down here in the right-hand corner? That's JC. Isn't she cute? Now look at the sunrise glistening through the trees. The fog was lifting. The day was becoming clearer and clearer. My heart rate was getting faster. I was standing taller. I was feeling better and better. My tummy was not as sore, but I was still hungry. But here's what it did for me. After a morning of solitude, being in God's Word, and then going for a walk out in nature, I really understand why Jesus got up early and went up on a mountainside to pray. Why? He just wanted to be out in nature to encounter God. And I don't know what your routine is, but I want to tell you, for these past few days, just getting up early and having my quiet time and then going outside for a walk has just done an amazing work in my life personally and internally for me to just move into the day and encounter God out in the nature where the cows are, where the smells are, and where the sun is rising. And I don't know what your routine is, but if whatever you're doing is not helping you connect with God, change what you're doing. If whatever your morning routine is not helping you have a healthy prayer life, then make some adjustments in your morning routine. So here's my question. What is hindering your prayer life? What is hindering your prayer life? Identify those things that are zapping you, that are moving you away from God. And if it's your morning routine, then change it up to better fit the rhythm God has given you so that you can better connect with Him and you therefore can pursue personal purity. Well, let's move to number three. Unleash your love. Unleash your love. Now it gets so personal because we've talked about your intimacy with the Lord and your prayer life and your mindset and your attitude being right before the Lord. But now we're talking about moving out. You've had intimacy with God. You're practicing His presence. But now you're going to put feet to what God's showing you. Now you're going to be active and being on mission with God. Now you're going to unleash your love. And it's not the love that you have built up in your heart. It's the love that God has lavished on you. And you're going to unleash this. And I love how Peter articulates this. Notice in verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. One translation says fervently, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And what's God's word teaching? That we're to love one another earnestly. And it's such a beautiful word picture in the language of the New Testament. It literally means stretching, straining in your love. It means exerting maximum effort. Not, well, I'm just going to give you a little sprinkle of love. It means that you're straining. You're giving all that you have, your maximum effort to unleash your love. And the word picture is that of a horse running at full sprint. Have you ever had somebody in your life who was loving you at full sprint? What Peter is saying is that's how we're to love one another. At full sprint. That we're straining, we're stretching, we're unleashing our love because love covers a multitude of sins. And I don't know if you know this or not, but if you do life with other people, it gets messy. If you do life with other believers, it gets messy. I've often said it's a miracle that marriage works. It's a miracle that church works. Why? Because we all make mistakes. We're flawed. We live in a fallen world. We don't live up to each other's expectations. And we need some grace to flow in this river of love. Amen? And the only way that church works and the only way that marriage works is when love is unleashed. And it's in full stride. And some of you know that's the only way you make it, is you're loving full stride. And some of you have difficult people in your life, and the only way you're operating is you're loving full stride. Some of you are being loved by someone who is in full stride, and you're the recipient of love that is lavished on you. I love 1 Corinthians 13:5. That's the love chapter. Let me give you one verse where it talks about love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. But I want to highlight this next phrase. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Have you ever been around someone who has removed the record of your wrongs? And then you're with other people where they like have it, and it's like with permanent ink. It's like written out for them to show you. But you have those people in your life where they don't even know what you're talking about. There's no record of wrongs. It's covered in the blanket of love. That ought to be a song. It's covered in the blanket of love. And it's not our idea. It's God's idea. It's God's initiative. God is the one who originated love. God is the one who created love. God is the one who demonstrated his love for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God is the one who went first. God is the one who was offended by our sin, offended by our fallenness, but yet God went first to reconcile, to restore, to bring us back into right relationship, and he did it by giving his best. He was in full stride with his love when he gave his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God was in full stride when he unleashed his love on us. The least we can do with others is keep no record of wrongs. Peter says, show hospitality without grumbling. That literally means to love strangers. To show hospitality means to love strangers. It means that the next person you meet, treat them as the most important person on the planet. It means to value them the way God values them, see them the way God sees them. It means to place value on them, regardless of their status in this life, regardless of what they can do to benefit you, that you are showing hospitality by loving strangers. It also means to take your love beyond your circle. It means to take your love beyond those that are in your circle, that you're comfortable with, that know you love them, and love flows so easily. It means to export your love. Go beyond your circle. And unleash your love on people who can do nothing for you in return. Unleash your love on people who may not know your name, may not even know anything about you, but you're going to lavish them with your love because God has lavished you with his. And one way to do that is you unleash your love by living beyond your skin. Tuesday morning, we had a group from our church get on a church van and drive down to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, South I-45. We went there to prayer walk, and you have to stay on the sidewalk or the street, can't get on the grass, you'll be arrested. And we just went and prayed over that area that God would rescue the unborn, change the hearts of the abortion-prone women. And when we arrived, we had prayer in the van, and then Bill Elliott, who was our host, our pastor of adults now, 65 plus, I think it is to be official, he said, now, be sure to stay on the sidewalk as you pray or walk. And some of you may feel led to go to that blue bus. And so we said, well, tell us about the blue bus. He said, well, that is an alternative. For those who do not want to abort their babies, they can go there and get a free ultrasound to see how their baby's developing and doing. And so Pastor Wade Liberator and I went to the blue bus. And it was basically a city bus, I think from New Jersey, that was retrofitted from a church in the Woodlands that paid to have it retrofitted into like a motorhome and like a hospital on wheels. A mobile home of hope. And we went in, and there was a client in, so we sat in the little waiting area. And then the client left, and then two ladies came and assisted us, and we said who we were and where we're from and just came to pray. And we wanted to pray with you and thank you for your ministry. Thank you for providing an alternative. I want you to see a picture. Here's the blue bus. You see the big flag. And then if you'll go back to that previous picture, the blue bus, and then right behind is Planned Parenthood. And that's the bus we went on. And then once we got to the very back, we met these two ladies. You'll see them in this picture. Christine on the left and then Christy on the right. And Christine on the left was mentored by our very own Mona Parrish, who's the director of CareNet Pregnancy Center. And whenever Christine was telling us about her journey, she got very emotional talking about how Mona had invested in her life, and now she's down there on the mobile home of hope, giving life. And here's what they shared as we prayed over that area where the ultrasound is done and they see the baby on the big screen for the first time. 9 out of 10 women who come onto the motor home of hope and have an ultrasound done, 9 out of 10 choose to have their children, their babies. 9 out of 10. Those who go into Planned Parenthood, 9 out of 10 abort their babies. Just a walk across the street, because there's a blue bus with some godly people who are there simply to unleash God's love and to live beyond their skin. And my Bible says in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have, say it with me, love for one another. So here's my question for you. What do you need to do to unleash your love? When I walk JC in the morning, her favorite part is when we get to the end of the street and get to the gully, I say, come see, come to daddy. And she comes over there and I unhook her. Tanya hates when I say come to daddy because she's a dog, but they're so human. They know, Cheryl, don't they know? They know. And so I unhook JC girl and she takes off running and she goes and chases the cows and the calves and goes down in the gully and comes back up. She's free. She's unleashing her love. We can learn a lot from a puppy. Then number 4, if you're going to focus your life, deploy your spiritual gifts. Deploy your spiritual gifts. We pick up in verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, it's very diverse. Whoever speaks is one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength God supplies. I want you to notice something. Spiritual gifts are divine enablements for ministry within the body. When you become a child of God, when you place your faith in Jesus alone for salvation, you receive Him as your Savior from sin, in that moment, you experience what is a divine transaction, where you are emptied of your sin is removed, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed. You become a child of God instantly, you're adopted into God's family, and you are filled with the Spirit of God. All that happens the moment you transfer your trust from yourself to Jesus alone in salvation. All that takes place instantaneously. And you receive a new nature, the nature of the Lamb of God. And here's what happens. In that moment, God bestows upon you His divine enablements so that you can serve Him through the local church. God blesses you. He graces you with multiple, varied, diverse gifts, spiritual gifts, so that you can now be empowered to do ministry in His kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these spiritual gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Now, here's what's interesting about spiritual gifts. You can't chase after them. You can't acquire them. You can't say, well, I want that spiritual gift. I'm going to pursue that. I want that spiritual gift. I'm going to pursue that. When you were saved by the grace of God, the spiritual gifts came to you. God bestowed them upon you. Now it is your responsibility as a child of God to discover your spiritual gift, to develop your spiritual gifts, and then to deploy them. It's on you. God has already inserted them in you. God has already bestowed them upon you. He has graced you with those diverse gifts so that the body of Christ experiences unity in the midst of diversity, which is a beautiful portrait of what God's up to. Now, there are two main categories when you deal with spiritual gifts. You have speaking gifts and serving gifts. Speaking gifts and serving gifts. Speaking gifts such as preaching, teaching, and even evangelism is a speaking gift. Then you have the serving gifts, the gift of helps, the gift of mercy, the gift of administration. Those gifts that are service-oriented. Notice what happens. We've made this so easy for you. Some of you right now are thinking, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. We're going to help you discover them so you can develop them and deploy them. Three steps. Just simply go to championforce.org. Here's how easy this is. It's all online. Everybody say that with me. It's all online. Say that to your neighbor. Championforce.org. Here's what you do. We have it all on the screen here for you. Right up the top where the red circle is, you just click volunteer. Everybody say volunteer. And then that takes you to the next item. And you go down the bottom right where it says all opportunities. You click that, and then it takes you to the page you need. Here it is. There's a spiritual gift survey online, or you can print out the test. So you can do an online experience, or you can open the PDF up, you can print it out, and you can take the test, you can fill it out, and it will list your spiritual gifts. It assigns a value to each one, and you'll have many spiritual gifts. And some of them you'll say, I knew I had that. And you'll go tell somebody else, I knew I had that. And others you'll say, well, I didn't know I had that. It's been dormant in your life. God gave it to you, but you haven't nurtured it. It's been dormant. So you're about to come alive as the church of the living God. You're going to be able to operate in your spiritual gifting. And here's a really neat thing online. This is really cool. This is called being part of a cutting-edge church. We even have an app on here where you plug in your spiritual gifts and it tells you everything available for your spiritual gift to serve at Champion Forest Baptist Church. Isn't that the neatest thing you've ever heard? Fascinating. This past Saturday, we had car care. Frank Allen and about 50 other men, and then dozens of ladies who also ministered and helped and served the people who were coming. They had over 60 widows and single moms come onto our campus and had their oil changed, their belts changed, their air filters changed, their cars taken care of. Isn't that amazing? It's just men who were operating in their spiritual giftedness, and they were willing to get their hands dirty to deploy their spiritual gifts. Wouldn't you rather come here to get your car fixed for free if you're a widow or single mom? The rest of us got to go pay out of the wazoo. Now, here's a question I have for you. Are you willing to go online and take the spiritual gift inventory? Discover and deploy your gift. Then number five. Invest your life for the global glory of God. Invest your life for the global glory of God. If you're going to focus your life on something, focus your life on living for God's glory and realize that it's not about you, it's not about your kingdom or your thingdom, it's about God's kingdom, His agenda. And the neat part about God's economy is God uses broken vessels. That you don't have to be perfect and all fixed and everything in alignment. You come to Jesus as you are. He transforms you and He makes you fit for His use. Broken before Him. And then you orient your life to invest your life for the global glory of God. I want to look at verse 11, the last part there. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. It's all about God's glory. And the question I have for you is, what are you going to do with the time you have left? Some of you may have years. Some of you may have decades. Some of you may have just a few days left. Some of you may have hours left. Some minutes. We don't know. Nobody knows, but God knows. And I want to know, what are you going to do with the time that you have left? Are you going to waste it? You're going to spend it, or are you going to invest it? You are created to continue the ministry of Jesus on the earth. You're not an accident. You were created by God, and you're created for God. Did you know that? You're the apple of His eye. You're His treasure. You are God's workmanship. Did you know that your body is a temple of His Holy Spirit who lives inside of you now? And that's what connects us, is we are all hosting the Holy Spirit of God living in us, and He's bearing witness with your spirit. And we're one in the family of God. And God has chased you with His love so that you can chase others with His love. God has recreated you in the image of Christ so that you will not be saddled with your sin or shackled by your past. God designed you and factored in your flaws and your inconsistencies. Now, I'm talking to those who are not perfect. I'm talking about those who do not have it all together and everything's just so perfect in your life. I'm talking about those who you have flaws and you have inconsistencies and you have hang-ups and you wish you could get it all together. I've got wonderful news for you tonight. God can use you right where you are. God is so good about filling in the gap. You've been brought too far to give up. You've been delivered from too much to throw in the towel. Did you know that God has commanded His guardian angels to surround you and to protect you and to minister to you? God has armed you with the helmet of salvation to protect your mind. God has armed you with a breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart. God has blessed you with a belt of truth so that you can expose falsehood and you can combat the enemy of falsehood. He has blessed you with a shield of faith so that you can now walk by faith and not by sight. God has so blessed you and fitted you with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's like wearing Nike cleats spiritually. You get traction. You're grounded. You can have momentum now. You can climb mountains. You can go through difficult situations because your feet are fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's why you are ready now to share your faith. You're ready now to lead somebody to faith in Jesus Christ because you are fitted with the gospel of peace. God has blessed you with a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And how blessed we are to have so many copies of the Word of God and so many different translations, have it online and on our smartphones. And we are so blessed to have Scripture just saturated in our lives. And I hope we don't take that for granted, because that's a God thing that He's blessed us with. He's blessed us with the opportunity to pray in the Spirit. And I'm not speaking about speaking in an unknown tongue. I'm talking about when you pray in the Spirit, it means you're praying in alignment with God's Word and God's promises and God's agenda and God's mission and God's will, that you're praying God's Word and you're praying God's way, and you are so in alignment, so consistent with what is already happening in prayer with God the Father. And then you have Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, making intercession, and that intercessory prayer that's going on in the Godhead, we get to join in and participate. That's a great God thing, and that's what it is to pray in the Spirit. You're just aligning your life with the agenda of God. And I hope one day you can say what Paul said on his deathbed, on his death row, his final words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." I hope we can embrace Revelation 7, 9, and 10. And my prayer is that we'll see this at Champion Forest Baptist Church before we get to heaven, because in heaven, it is reality. I pray that it will become reality at Champion Forest Baptist Church. "After this, I looked, and behold," John said, "a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on His throne and to the Lamb.'" And they're praising Him and they're bringing glory to Him, because that's why we exist. That's why we're alive. It's not so that we can bless ourselves. It's so that we can honor God and be a blessing and a benefit to other people and to bring glory to God, because it's all about Him and it's all for Him. Let me give you a few closing action steps. What do you do with this? If you want to focus your life, if you want to really live for what matters in this life and get your life in alignment with what matters to God, let me give you three quick steps. Three quick steps. First of all, obey what you know. Just obey what you know. I don't know that God needs to give us more revelation. I think we need to start obeying what we already know. Loving with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's start there. Have any of you got that mastered yet? Let's just start there with the great commandment. Obey what you know. And then the phrase God's been using in my heart and life for years now, walk in the light God gives you. Walk in the light God gives you. And then thirdly, as you obey, God will show you the way. As you obey, God will show you the way.
We hope you enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org.